السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin today's show in the name of Allah. All praise is due to Allah. إن الحمد لله. Verily all praise is due to Allah. نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we also begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Athikrayat. My name is Tasneem, and this is the show to help you overcome unhealthy habits and old patterns so that you can reclaim your magic and create more of what you want in life. So welcome to today's show. Alhamdulillah, this is the sixth fast of Ramadan. Before we know it, a week has gone past, and what are we doing to change our lives and to make this Ramadan a remarkable one? So inshallah, I'm going to be giving you a few tips over the airwaves today, and I'm really excited for today's show being the first of my shows in Ramadan. I have an exciting lineup for the rest of the month, inshallah. But before I speak more about that, Radio Islam has been doing a theme of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed month of Ramadan. And I just want to take a few moments to sit and ponder upon one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Mateen. So let us take a few moments just to ponder upon the beautiful name of Al-Mateen, the firm, the steadfast, the one who is most steadfast and solid, the one whose strength produces certitude, the one who is loyal, firm and constant, the one whose nature is the utmost firmness and steadfastness, the one who can easily overcome anything through supreme firmness and strength of determination. Al-Mateen is the one of whom, in addition to his unconquerable power, his nature is to be firm. This combination of possession of the perfect strength and complete firmness of nature means no one can ever object to his actions or prevent his orders from being carried out. The utmost firm, the steadfast and determined one. Linguistically, Mateen means something very strong and very stable. Its foundation is unshakable. So let us ponder upon this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Himself says, indeed it is Allah who is in the continual provider, the possessor of strength. And Allah says so Himself in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and I will give them time indeed. My plan is firm. Allah says He lets people go free for a long time, as this is all part of His plan and according to His wisdom. This way, people can decide through different events to turn to the truth of Islam or not. Some might disbelieve and oppose Islam for years and eventually find guidance. Other times, Al-Mateen gives the disbeliever a long time to live, and the disbeliever carries on doing more evil, so he or she is punished even more. This also means that believers have the chance to get more reward and higher ranks in paradise through their struggles and good deeds throughout the long period of time Al-Mateen gave them. The plan of Allah is firm. Subhanallah. This is one of the 99 names of Allah, Al-Mateen. And inshallah, let us try and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful month of Ramadan and get closer to Him through His 99 names, inshallah. So today's show is all about freeing our minds from clutter, negative thoughts and meaningless worry. We also take a look this Ramadan to let's detox our bodies, minds and souls. Because as we're fasting, we're in the process of detoxing our bodies, but let us also detox our minds. Today we talk about the amazements of hunger. Imam Ghazali tells us about how important it is to control what we eat, not to be controlled by what we eat. We need to emancipate and free ourselves from our base selves and carnal desires. And also during this show, I take a little look during this Ramadan time for us to reflect and to ponder. By controlling our desires and appetites, we can learn to control our anger and negative thoughts. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the son of Adam can fill no container or vessel worse than his stomachs. It is enough for the son of Adam to eat a few mouthfuls to keep his back upright, but if he must eat more, then let him fill one third of his food, one third of his stomach with drink, and keep one third of his stomach for breath. May Allah subhanahu Subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us understanding and use us all as a means of inspiration and guidance. Subhanallah. So let us, before I start today's show, let me tell you about the lineup. I'm quite excited for the rest of the month, alhamdulillah. So let us make this Ramadan a remarkable one. So week one, we're starting off today's show, kicking off with talking about how to declutter your mind, freeing your mind from clutter, negative thoughts, and meaningless worry. We're also going to be looking at how hunger and you know, emptying the vessels and emptying your stomach actually allows you to focus on something much greater, which is now your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then week two, which is next week, we're speaking about freeing your body from tensity, laziness, and bad speech. And in fact, fasting does not give you an excuse to be weak. And we look at the companions during the Battle of Badr. As for bad speech, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when someone antagonizes you while you are fasting, all you have to say is, verily, I am fasting, I am fasting, I am fasting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed upon this to, you know, clarify that you are fasting, and by hence doing this, walking away from conflict. The third week, we take a look at how to free your heart from vengeance, hatred, and unforgiveness. We learn to let go this Ramadan. We learn to let go, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who become angry but are quick to forgive will have a reward from Allah. And remember that companion who forgave everyone before he went to bed, being described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a person from Jannah, subhanallah. And then the final week, the week just before Eid, we will take a look at how to free your spirit from hubbud dunya, from people and from things, and remember that everything in this world is temporary. Your parents, your spouse, your children, your relative, your friends, your home, everything that you own is temporary. Use Ramadan to detach yourself from your love for everything in this world, because in the end, only Allah remains. So let us take a look at this month and make it a remarkable one. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'm quite excited for today's show, speaking about how to free our minds, you know, from negative thought. Today we also talk about the amazements of hunger. Imam Ghazali tells us about how important it is to control what we eat, not to be controlled by what we eat. Imam Ghazali begins with the praise of Allah, and he praises Allah for good food and drink that makes us strong and healthy. And then he points out to this as being one of the most important tests of human beings. Before we talk about hunger, which is part of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very important to talk about eating right, which is also part of the sunnah. The Quran in many places speaks about eating not only halal, but also tayyib. So when we eat, it's important to eat well and in a way that is healthy. We should enjoy looking at the food, smelling it, touching the food, because this is also a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always being in the state of gratitude is so important. So one of the things about touching the food, one of the wisdoms in touching the food, in fact, is that your hands give a signal to your nervous system about what you're eating, and your nervous system prepares your digestion. Subhanallah, look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that before you can even put your food in your mouth, your fingertips are already preparing your brain for your digestion, subhanallah. And we should eat regular meals. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate small meals, but he ate regular meals. And, you know, taste your food and enjoy it. It's good to eat more meals and less food. It's important to be aware of each bite and to think about it and eat it well, not to just grovel your food at the time of iftar and, you know, to be unaware of what you're even eating, whether I'm eating a samosa, something sweet, something savory, because most of the time we're not even tasting our food, or we're not even present in the moment, because all we can think about is filling our bellies. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like the hadith that I read out in the beginning, that one of the worst things to fill is the belly of the son of Adam. So be careful when we eat, you know, take time to reflect, to ponder upon the food in front of you. Where did that food come from? Subhanallah, that every morsel that you put into your mouth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, you know, he had prescribed that food for you. Your name was written on every grain of rice that enters your mouth. So it's good to stop halfway through the first serving and think about, do I need to eat more? And if you stop and wait, you can tell, you can decide whether I need to stop eating or if I'm full. Otherwise, it just becomes an auto drive and subconscious action of just filling that vessel. So it's important not to eat food on top of undigested food. Part of healthy food is to know how long it takes to digest certain things. This is also the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to not eat food on top of undigested food. Imam Ghazali talks about hunger, and hunger is a spiritual discipline. It's not a way of punishing ourselves. We don't mean by hunger starvation. What we mean is eat as little as we can and still be healthy and not fill ourselves up, and also to delay eating. One way to delay eating is to be mindfully, take one bite, put down the utensil, fully chew and swallow before reaching your next bite. And if you look at this physiologically, many illnesses, start off in the stomach. So it's very important that digestion starts in the mouth, and we need to take each bite, in cognizance and to ponder and enjoy the food and taste it. Because if you look at the anatomy of your tongue, there's different points in your tongue that are responsible for different sensations in terms of sweetness, bitterness, sourness. So if you don't maneuver that morsel of food all across your tongue, you're not going to get the full flavor of the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. So just being able to swallow and being able to taste is a ni'mat from your Creator. And being able to be in a state of gratitude, that alone we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because not many people, Allah says in the Quran that very few of them will show gratitude. So while we are eating, to be in a state of gratitude and to thank Allah and not complain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he liked the food, he ate it. And if he didn't like it, he would just leave it. But he never ever complained about food. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat and drink up to the middle of the stomach, up to the half of the stomach. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the son of Adam can fill no container or vessel worse than his stomach. It is enough for the son of Adam to eat a few mouthfuls to keep his back upright. But if he must eat more, then let him fill one third with his food, one third of his stomach with his drink, and keep one third for his breath. Imam Bukhari transmits that the believer eats into one collection of intestines or one set of bowels, and the disbeliever eats into seven sets of bowels. So we must try not to fill all these sets of bowels. Imam Ghazali says that this means the disbeliever or the hypocrite eats seven times as much as the believer who embodies this practice, and that they eat also with seven times the appetite. So Abu Sulaiman of Al-Darani, a great Islamic figure and spiritual guide, said that for him to leave aside a single bite of my dinner is more beloved to me than standing all night in the prayer until the dawn. He said that because the fact to be able to stop eating when you're still hungry takes a lot of discipline. This is one of the keys to spiritual discipline. Al-Tusari, an awliya of history, says no righteous deed more excellent than leaving aside extra food that you don't need in imitation of the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in actual fact, it's not just a health and diet issue, but also you want to be like the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the first reprehensible innovation to occur after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was eating until full, because he and his companions did not do this. We must eat with adab, we must eat with respect. This is the first element of self-discipline. So before we can even speak about, disciplining yourself in terms of your mind, in terms of your emotions, in terms of your behavior, we need to learn to discipline ourselves in terms of our carnal desires and our base desires, and one of them being eating. It's not just a sunnah and not just for our own health. It's also, if you can control the way you eat and drink, you can control everything else in its very foundation. And one of the first things is to teach children is how to eat properly. When we look at upbringing of children, the first appetite that begins to dominate the child is eating and drinking, and that's true of all of us. And eating is what got Adam and Hawa alayhi salam out of the garden of Jannah. So they were told not to eat of a certain tree, and they did, and that was their mistake. So subhanAllah, the Anbiya do not commit any sin, but that we learn from their mistakes. All of this is essential for spiritual development of children as well as adults, but we have to eat that way. We have to learn, and we have to make it a lifestyle change for all of us. Among most important of etiquettes of eating, Imam Ghazali says that good etiquette of eating is to eat after hunger comes and to stop eating before you are full. So halfway through the first serving, to stop and pay attention to your body. And I'm going to say it's vital to pay attention, because a lot of time we are in auto drive and we just tend to eat and gobble up and we're not even tasting what we're eating. So halfway through the first serving, we need to stop and pay attention to your body. Your mind wants you to fill your stomach, but your body knows this is abuse. It's actually abuse of the body to overeat. So that takes, you know, that becomes a habit, and we have to work at that, because you're so used to eating until you're full, and then you become even more full. So Imam Ghazali tells a story of a king who asked a number of physicians, what is the medicine that causes no sickness? They knew medicines had side effects. So they said the medicine that has no sickness or no side effects is that you eat, that you not eat food until you have an appetite for it. So not to eat until you start feeling a little bit hungry. And that you feel, that you lift your hand from stop eating while you're still craving it. And that's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we talk about hunger, we talk about spiritual discipline. We talk about voluntary hunger. We're not praising starvation or deprivation. We're not praising hunger of the masses who do not have anything to eat. We're talking about voluntary hunger that has spiritual contentment. So outside of Ramadan, we're speaking about the Monday and the Thursday fasting and just doing it for the pleasure of Allah, to do it for Allah's sake. This is an imitation of Nabi sallallahu, to imitate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow in his Mubarak footsteps and to live the life that he lived. And eating is also a way of life. It's a lifestyle. So it has to be inculcated as a habit from very early on. And now as responsible adults, we can change these behaviors and make it better for ourselves. So this hunger is reducing the amount of food. So it's as little as, you know, but it's still healthy for you. And that you try and delay it and put it off, but we're not talking about starving ourselves. Al-Bayani says that the Prophet ﷺ used to experience hunger without it being required by circumstances, meaning he would be hungry even when he had enough food to eat. We know that most of the time the Prophet ﷺ had barely enough food to eat, but the Prophet ﷺ also did it by choice. He chose this life of simplicity, and he chose this life of poverty. It's not just circumstances, it's also from his sunnah. Aisha radiallahu anha said that, you know, had we wanted to eat our full, we would have eaten our full. But the Prophet ﷺ used to prefer others over himself. Subhanallah. And this is the way of our blessed Prophet ﷺ, that he would prefer others over himself. In other words, this was his sunnah, but also his giving away of his food. The Prophet ﷺ was offered by Allah through Angel Jibreel alayhi salam all of the treasures of the world. And the Prophet ﷺ refused, and he said, no, rather I will be hungry for a day and I will eat my full another day if I am hungry. And if I am hungry, I will be patient and turn to Allah in dua. And if I eat my full, I will give thanks. And this hadith comes in Tirmidhi. Subhanallah, let us learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith. And Imam Ghazali says that the greatest of all things that destroy human beings and put them in a fire, morally destructive habits, is the appetite of eating and drinking, and all other appetites and passions are rooted in the stomach, as do diseases and afflictions. So overeating in itself is self-abuse. And also the appetite for speech, which is important, but we have to control our speech. This is also part of our base desires. So inshallah, let us take a break, and then we'll be coming back after the break speaking more about how to control our base desires. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show of Dhikrayat with me, Tasneem. You're on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia. Today we're speaking all about the beautiful month of Ramadan, how to make this the most remarkable Ramadan ever, and inshallah, focusing on our negative belief systems. But before that, how to, you know, get closer to Allah through this fasting month and through the psalm. So when we spoke about the psalm, we spoke about how we stop eating. And if you look at the literal meaning of the word psalm in Arabic, it means basically to stop. So today we're speaking about the amazements of hunger. And Imam Ghazali tells us about how important it is to control what we eat and not be controlled by what we eat. But also, having said that, it's also important for us to understand what our belief systems are in terms of our thought processes, in terms of our psyche, and the negative things that we feed our mind with. We seem to have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Tasneem?
Alaikum salam. How are you, Fatima from Azadville? How are you?
Ramadan Mubarak to all of you.
Ramadan Kareem to you too. Jazakallah for calling in.
It's my pleasure. Barakallah.
What would you like to add to today's show?
I'd like to say, you know what? I've been the queen of negative thoughts. So I would like to share with my fellow sisters and brothers on Radio Islam that negativity is not for us. Yes, we humans, and we tend to falter. But you know what? Once we have this kalima in our hearts, inshallah, it's not just the tip of our tongue. Once we believe in this kalima, well, inshallah, forget all the negative thoughts, because Allah wants us to turn to Him. So no matter what challenges we go through, it's all from Allah, whether it's good or bad.
Mashallah.
And I would like to share something with you people.
Please go ahead. We're so excited to hear about it. Jazakallah.
Okay, I'm nervous, so just bear with me.
No, you're doing fine, mashallah.
Jazakallah. Okay. My restless mind. I am restless, tossing and turning each night. I have forgotten to enjoy the beauty of sound sleep. My mind has been working overtime for over a decade, barricaded with negative thoughts. There are times when I feel like I'm going to explode. There are times when I want to switch off. Have I lost my peace of mind? Am I too busy swimming in the ocean of negative turmoil that I cannot enjoy the island of happiness? Well, no more will I be a paralyzed soul. It's time I awaken to the power of my heart and mind. It's time for me to discover that only I have the key and password to control my thoughts and emotions. I will no longer be a slave to my weakness. Yes, I have felt heartache and disappointment. I have traveled the road of difficulties, but I would have not been the person I am today if I did not taste the test of time. I have learned the meaning of love and the art of appreciation. I have learned to be selfless and enjoy sweet simplicity. I have learned the happiness only I can find. I found the magic in the smile. So it's time I leave my past behind and forget the worries of the future. For the future is not under my control. It's time now for me to close my eyes and enjoy the magic of sleep and wake up to a positive tomorrow. Jazakumullah.
Mashallah, what positive motivational words, mashallah. So much inspiration in your words and directly from your heart. Fatima, what made you realize that you needed to change from negative beliefs to positive beliefs?
You see, it was, personally, I've been through a lot, like from a divorce to different challenges, and I was always negative, but it affected me emotionally and physically. But you know what? They say when you turn 40, it's the years of being wise.
So
I think shukr to Allah, shukr. I just found my Allah at the age of 40. So you know what? Being alive is like a bonus for us. It's not just for us to enjoy, it's for us to make a change. So I realized that all this negative thoughts was just eating me up alive. And who is suffering? Just me. And you know what? Allah gave me the sign. And once I connected to Allah, I found this peace and the sukoon in my heart. So you know what? My advice to everyone is just to have tawakkul in Allah. Because only Allah can help us, no matter what your situation. And believe you me, even though it's difficult, the difficult things that we go through, all from Allah, and actually your difficulties are actually your blessings in disguise. So yeah, my past and finding Allah made me change, and I just realized being negative is just not helping anymore.
Mashallah, may Allah take you from strength to strength. We'd love to have you on the show so that you can share more of your writings with the listeners. But jazakallah for inspiring us today, and may Allah Ta'ala take you from strength to strength and always use you as a means of inspiration and motivation, inshallah.
Ameen. Allah reward you for your amazing efforts.
Allah accept, inshallah. Jazakallah so much. Fatima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sister Fatima from Zaadval sharing some of her very inspirational and motivational words with us. Obviously, words that come from a lot of experience and from going through a lot of pain, but also words of a lot of hope and encouragement for the listeners out there. Jazakallah so much, Sister Fatima, for sharing your thoughts with us. So before the break, we spoke a lot about how to detox your body and soul. So now let's talk about how to detox your mind this Ramadan and make this Ramadan a remarkable one. So before I continue, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And the number to SMS is 082-551-3885. So we spoke about how to detox your body and soul. Now let's talk about how to detox your mind. So most of us spend a lot of time inside our own mind, and we're constantly worrying about the future, replaying events in the past, and generally focusing on that part of our life that leave us dissatisfied or, you know, disappointed. So while common and negative or unwanted thoughts can prevent you from enjoying experiences, it distracts you from focusing on what's important. And essentially what it does, it just drains your energy. And I see a lot of clients that walk into my office, and these are some of the things that we're trying to focus on and to try and make a difference in their life so they could be more positive. But the thing is, once you have a negative thought, you need to replace that negative thought with a positive thought. And at any given moment, I'm just sitting now, whether you're driving in the car or picking up your kids from school or just sitting and listening to the radio station, there are so many thoughts that are going through your mind. And psychologists say that if you don't catch that one thought and really analyze and, you know, think about what it really means, introspect and ponder upon that thought, it's very difficult for you to actually know what you're actually thinking, because you literally go into auto drive. So the good news is that with dedicated practice, and sometimes with a little bit of therapy, you can replace negative thinking patterns with thoughts that actually help. This can make a huge difference in your day-to-day happiness and comfort. You must remember, my dear listeners, that happiness is something that we have to create for ourselves. Happiness is not something that you can buy or that you can, you know, get from someone else or place in another person's existence. You need to create that happiness within yourself. And like the listener said, like the caller that called in now, Sister Fatima from Azadville, she said that she found her true happiness and contentment when she found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once you have Allah, then you have everything. So understanding that, you know, our thought processes and the way we think. So just for example, let's start with a question. So ask yourself, whatever your problems are, is it true what I'm thinking about my mother-in-law? Is it true this thought about my husband? So always question yourself, the thought that you're thinking, pull that one thought out. Then ask yourself, is this true? This belief that I repeat internally about my sister-in-law, or about my sister, about a friend, is it true? Is the sadness that I have about myself true? That's the first question. So this is all about inquiry. It's all about questioning yourself in order for you to get to the bottom line of what you're really feeling. Question two, can I absolutely know for sure my thought is true about them? Right, so that's another question you need to ask yourself. Question three, how do I react when I think my stressful thought? So when I remember that rough thing that happened, or those words that were said, or when I picture them being themselves and it brings me such uncertainty and worry, or I anticipate the very worst happening in the future, how do I react? Am I nervous? Am I fearful? Maybe even panicked? A lot of times what I do is I ask clients to close their eyes and to think that thought, that negative thought, and then to feel it in your body. And immediately they'll tell me, I feel it in my tummy, I feel like a knot in my throat, I feel like a heaviness on my chest, because it actually manifests in a physical way. So you will notice your suffering, you'll notice this pain that it gives you. Then comes question four, who or what would it be like? Who or what would it be like if I did not have this thought? So imagine your life without this thought running through your head. You know, so remember that this person that you spoke about, or the person that's causing you pain, how would you feel about them without this thought? What if I didn't think that my story was 100% true? Who would I be without this belief? Because remember, there's truth and then there's divine truth. Because sometimes our truth is just based on our negative belief, which is not even the truth, the actual truth. So we really need to focus on what is the divine truth, and that is Allah's business. So what if I paused, relaxed, looked at that memory or relationship without starting to panic or complain? What if everything is in order and I am not in charge, and most importantly, me not being in charge is actually the way of it, and it's a good thing because at the end of the day, you're taking your problems and you're putting it into Allah's hands. So then you don't even need to worry why it happened, how it happened, the way it happened. You just let it go. And letting it go doesn't mean you don't learn from that experience. Because inshallah, whatever we're going through is always a means to get closer to Allah and to get, you know, that proximity that we so desperately need. Because like the listener said, that once we have Allah, then we have everything. So inshallah, we will be back after the break speaking more about how we can turn this month into the most remarkable Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's me, Tasneem, on Al-Dhikrayat, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on Medium Wave 1548. And today I'd just like to include a Ramadan reminder. It is the show Al-Dhikrayat, all about reminders for the believers. So today I want to wish all of you a blessed Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month for you a month of the greatest commitment to Allah and to your own well-being. Because Allah says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so beautifully, Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu, that they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So let us take this month and make it the most remarkable Ramadan, and let us get to know who we are. So this is a month of emancipation. Every day and night Allah emancipates people from the fire. And when we talk about liberating people and setting them free, that process begins with liberating ourselves. We have to free ourselves from our own lower base, passional selves, from our own animal selves, from al-insan al-hayawan, from man the animal, so we become an al-insan al-kamil, the human being who is perfected and who follows in the beautiful footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, that keep knocking on heaven's door. And she asked him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you do that? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, through hunger. So the hunger that comes with fasting, this is one of the highest forms of ibadah. And we also know that good character begins in the stomach, that by controlling our appetite, our carnal desires, our anger, and all these other negative emotions that we spoke about, you know, these, which are things which the fast of Ramadan helps us profoundly to do. By this we are able to elevate ourselves and we are able to attain good character and akhlaq, and we are able to then to help others, inshallah. So like Gandhi would say, that you must be the change you wish to see in the world. But it's also true that if we're going to speak about freeing people and emancipating them, that we have to emancipate ourselves first, and we have to free ourselves first. And this type of humanism, which is central to Islam, is called by some transcended humanism. That in order to be that human that we can potentially be, the best human that we can potentially be, we have to transcend the lower self. We've got to get it under control. We don't mortify it, we don't negate it, but we have to get it under control. So we recognize our negative behaviors, we identify our negative behaviors, because like I always say, awareness is the first step towards change. So recognize who we are, understand who we are, know our strengths, our positive, our negatives, but make sure that these negative qualities do not, don't obey it. It must obey you. So let it obey you. Don't obey it. This is also what we call the liberation of the ruh, the liberation of the spirit. This is true spirituality. When you liberate your ruh from the cage that is locked in by the passional self, then you have to allow your soul, then you allow your soul to rule you and not your nafs and your carnal desires to rule you. This is what makes the human being be the very best that we can be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in the beautiful month and to enable us to devote ourselves to Him in this beautiful month entirely, inshallah. So let us make a make dua and, you know, end the show today, inshallah. And may Allah make this Ramadan strengthen our belief in His miracles. May He give miraculous healing to all those who are suffering and who are sick in our families, in our communities, and all across the world. And in the spirit of believing in miracles, I also pray that this Ramadan, that we all come together, that our hearts come together in the spirit of love and service across our families, across our communities, across our ummah, and across the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep you in great health, iman, love and service throughout this blessed month of Ramadan. Inshallah, I look forward to being with you next week from me and my wonderful engineer Jahangir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.